Before we get to this week's episode, Jorge and I thought it would be a good idea to set up an email address so that you guys could suggest a marathon or ask us a question. The email address is cinemarathon@gmail.com. Email us there, and we'd love to take suggestions for what marathons to watch next.
Cinemarathon with Dan and Jorge.
Welcome to Cinemarathon, the Movie Marathons podcast. I'm Dan, and with me, as always, is my roommate, Jorge. Cinemarathon is where we watch a series of movies all in one day and then talk about them later.
This week, we decided to watch the Evil Dead movies. We started with The Evil Dead, and then we watched Evil Dead 2.
And then Army of Darkness.
Help us along the way for this one. We have a special guest. This is my brother John.
Hello.
The reason why we brought you on is because he just knows a lot about Sam Raimi.
Yeah, Evil Dead expert.
Well, I think I've always been more of kind of a horror goblin than you were, and so I mean these movies certainly spoke to me a lot in that way.
I had only seen the Evil Dead once, and Jorge, you'd seen it was the only
that's
one you'd
the
seen.
Only one I'd seen because my a friend of mine in high school was like, you got to see this movie. It's so awesome. And I saw it, and I said, this is so stupid.
Well, I'll just say the only thing that I really remembered, I think the thing that stands out for everybody is just the tree rape.
Yeah, tree rape. I remembered that vividly. And I remember thinking it was really funny.
Did not think it was funny.
I was just like, I couldn't believe what they were doing.
I actually was horrified when I saw it for the first time. I had seen both Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness, and then when I finally saw that in Evil Dead 1, it was just so like not the same as what I was used to. I mean, Evil Dead, they're violent, but it was just like
brutal.
Shocking. It made me nauseous.
And even watching it this time, I know we mentioned that like it's the first real like violence you see.
Well, I can't believe how early it actually appears in the movie. Like, I sort of remembered thinking that it must have been built up to at some point, but it's the first encounter that anybody has with any sort of spirit or demon or anything is the girl just sort of runs out into the... Why does she run out? I don't even remember.
I think it attacks or something. But what struck me as so odd is, in terms of horror movies, is for her to be the first victim, you know, the spirit in the woods goes, like, right past the, like, girl with her titties out and about to have sex with her boyfriend. It literally, like, leaves them behind
to attack the woman all by herself.
For like the innocent woman
who doesn't have a boyfriend.
Yeah, I mean, usually,
she's the fifth wheel.
Exactly. Like usually in horror movies, like whoever's the most sinful or the most annoying is going to bite it first. And like this woman that's done nothing wrong.
Well, they're all kind of annoying in the first one.
Well, it's like you went into it. You don't like the Evil Dead.
No, I don't.
You did not like it.
I remember I was so bored that the tree rape was like, that's why it was entertaining to me. Because I was like, well, finally something's happening. And of course, this is it. This terrible movie.
It's kind of a weird way to start a movie. It's just a way to kind of, you want to get the audience on board with you and what you're doing. Right. It seems like an alienating first scene. Like normally, if you think of a movie that has like a really notorious scene like that, does it come at the top? Like, what's some other...
Not really. I mean, I think maybe in, like, Reanimator, where he goes down on the chick with his own head. But, I mean, that's deep into the movie.
Yeah. What I can think of is maybe on Last House on the Left, when do they bite the penis off? When does that happen?
That's right towards the end, too. Yeah, I mean, that's way after the girl's been killed and
usually
you know, her family finds out.
Yeah, you're leading up to the coup de grace, like, the big creepy thing. This is just right at the beginning.
You don't usually...
You open with tree rape, and then it's like, where do you go from there?
Yeah.
Well, the gore fest at the end, that's, I guess,
that's true.
Sam Raimi's coup de grace.
Yeah, all that. It looked sort of like mossy green. It didn't even look...
It looked terrible.
It was like that movie Street Trash is what I was thinking of. You remember Street Trash?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Where it's just in this movie, Street Trash, it's... is that 80s or 70s? It's 80s.
I think it was
80s. This movie is just horrifying. It's like they're selling this weird like liquor, like this malt liquor.
It's Viper liquor that they find in like the back of the liquor store.
Right, this
B movie.
They sell
the hobos.
And they're selling it to homeless people. And then the second you drink it, it's not like it takes...
Oh, yeah.
Anymore, but a couple seconds, and then you just start to melt, and you melt into this green. I think the first one, the guy's, like, on the toilet.
Yeah, he melts into the toilet.
He melts in the toilet, and he's just oozing, and it's so gross. And so it reminded me a lot of the melting of the deadites at the end of this movie, of the Evil Dead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, watching it again, I of all three movies, Evil Dead's probably the one I've seen the least. Maybe two or three times, and so... What I really forgot was just how really gruesome it was. Like the axes.
It's hardcore.
And, yeah,
it's
like,
hardcore. Movie.
People screaming and blood and it. Like, I mean, and I'm pretty like a veteran of horror movies, but like it, wow.
And the film is so like it just looks so shitty that it's like it just has this like it's like almost like a snuff film. Like the aesthetic of it, yeah. It's just so you're like,
oh. Yeah, it's disgusting.
But it has more of like a plot, like a story that's like. Car movies where it's like you introduce all the characters and they're going to the cabin. Right. You get like there's like 30 minutes before
so much, too much
for you.
I hated it. Yeah, it was so boring.
How is it different than any other horror movie that would start like that? Like, 'cause with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like they interact with those right. weird like skin biting guys or whatever those guys are. But like after that kind of initial freak out, you don't really get a Leatherface kill.
Yeah,
until like
usually,
way deep into
yeah,
it.
Usually it's like the movie, like in Texas Chainsaw, it opens with like a body and it's all creepy, and then it sort of calms down,
and you're settled in,
and
you
have
kids,
like
yeah.
10 or 20 minutes of like just getting to know everybody yeah. before something nuts happens.
Right.
But this movie, it's like
that. No, that's what it's
right
like
off the bat.
No, the
no,
Evil
really?
Dead. It's like yeah, you settle in with the. They're in the car.
Well, I didn't
it takes
feel like,
forever
nah, I didn't
to
feel
get
like
there.
It was that. Settling. I mean, you have.
Well, they
them,
try to scare you.
Them driving.
They almost
for
hit a car.
All of. 10 seconds, and then some spirit takes over the steering wheel, and then the like
dangerous bridge.
Yeah,
wood falls from the bridge. What a, oh man,
the swing at the door is like there's like creepy things happening almost.
I guess I'm just comparing it to the start of the second movie. How you it's just
right,
bam, 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 okay, and then now you're right into it,
right?
Because with the Evil Dead, it kind of takes a little bit of time. There's like actually characters, whereas in the other movies
yeah, okay, I see.
Especially the second movie, there's no time to develop characters at all. It's just
but I don't really feel like you get to know the people in Evil Dead at all.
Well,
like,
that's true. No, you
I
don't.
Mean they basically come in, sit down, and then
Scotty's an
get
asshole
possessed.
So you know
right.
So Scotty's a dick.
And the other girls are just like interchangeable. You kind of they're just all weird boring
bad actresses.
Yeah.
But the acting in the movie
is terrible.
Bad.
Like, but it's sort of just like a glorified student film.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, Jorge, since you don't like the movie, what was like
your
what was all the strikes? It. Like, why not?
Oh, it's just there's just everything. It's just terrible. I think the reason if I'd seen it when it came out, maybe. But that's the thing. I hate movies that are like conditional. I was talking about this earlier. Before we started this, where it's like somebody's like, well, you have to understand that at the time, you know, it was very different, and it set a lot of it started a lot of things, and it's like, well, yeah, great, that influenced the people who needed to be influenced, and now watching it, it's awful. It's like it's almost unwatchable. If you showed it to a kid today, they'd be like, this sucks, and they'd turn it off.
I disagree. I think if you showed it to certain
they'd be like,
people today, they would be like, this is fucking rad. Like, this is awesome.
I don't think so.
Like that, oh my God, the tree raped that girl. Like, I did not expect that. I think that's still shocking.
Sure.
I don't think,
oh, yeah.
There's parts, but as a whole movie, it does not hold up at all.
I just think if your temperament is for that, I think if you're 13 years old and you're growing up in this time – and you stumble across that movie and your temperament is such that you would want it. I just don't think it's your cup of tea. I don't think it's outdated is what I'm saying.
I mean, what I find interesting about the movie sort of in the positive sense is like the acting itself is pretty bad and it's not the most creative movie to start, but as it goes on, like I'm most impressed with just all the kind of visual tricks and shots that Sam Raimi uses. I mean, it's way more sophisticated than you would expect from that kind of like cheesy horror movie. Like just immediately I'm thinking of there's a shot where Ash is walking in the cabin and like you're whizzing by boards and there's little like sound effects as it whizzes by and all the shots like inside the clock and all that. I mean, that's like That's really some cool stuff. And
yeah, that amounts to like maybe 2 or 3 minutes of the like two hour movie.
All right. Well, I'm going to say that I'll say this. I said when I first saw this movie, it was after I had seen the other two movies. So obviously I'm accustomed to a different version of Ash and a different situation. Right. And so I was not the biggest fan of the first Evil Dead movie, but especially watching it now, being a little older, I think I really appreciate it a lot more and think that I really would say that I like it, and I'd say I'd make the case for it. And
yeah.
I think you're kind of probably being a little too hard on it, but I sort of understand your angle on it of just not being so into it. But well, I think it's really
here's
good
the
movie.
Thing. Like, after seeing two for the first time, I could see if somebody saw two, if I saw two, I'm sure my friend in high school, the reason he was recommending it is because he wanted to get to two. And because two is a good movie. Like, it was like, it's like the first one, but it's shot better. And it looks better acted.
Let's go into two a little bit.
Well,
and
not all around better acted, but.
I'd say part. Absolutely everybody's
better. Well, just fewer
better characters.
Yeah. I mean, they just cut some people out or had them. But yeah, let's talk about two. We were kind of having this discussion earlier while we were watching it, but sequel or remake or right. what? Or you were trying to make – now, John, you were trying to make the case that it was not a remake, that this was a sequel and it takes place linearly after the first movie.
Right.
Defend that position.
Well, I mean, this is not like my true belief. I'm just going by what the filmmakers claim. I can see how it's very easy to mistake it as a remake. What I think Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell have said in many interviews is that they say it's a true sequel and that there is a changing point where the first movie goes in the second movie. And if you recall, the first movie ends with this sort of kind of typical horror, like Boo ending where the spirit of the woods like flies at Ash and he goes, and it like cuts to black. And in the second movie, there's a moment where it's daytime and the spirit of the woods comes at him and he goes, and then he goes comically like flying through the trees. And that is apparently the point at which the first movie and the second movie cross over. But what's just unbelievably confusing is that they, before that moment, decide to reshoot and re-go over everything that happened.
They do the first movie in 8 minutes,
right,
which says a lot, I think.
And I think that they said at the time that like they didn't have the rights to show footage from the first movie. So I mean, normally in sequels of horror movies, like in, you know, Friday the 13th and stuff like that, they just kind of show. Like recap you almost like a previously on,
but they weren't afforded the luxury of doing that.
Right, so they don't have the footage to recap it, but they want to make a sequel. So then they say, okay, well, we're just going to reshoot stuff, but then they don't want to bother reshooting everybody. So they decide, well, we'll just cut the cast down to him and his girlfriend because that's all that matters.
But
and then recast her too.
Here's my take on it though. That being said, thematically, doesn't stop reiterating what happened in the first movie after the scene you're talking about where he's thrown in the trees and wakes up in the puddle.
Right.
You get scenes later that are just scenes from the first movie but reimagined in a different way.
Like the bridge is all messed up in a totally different way.
You could make the argument that he thinks that the bridge would disappear and be back to normal because it's daytime and he's screaming no and lamenting the fact that the bridge isn't fixed. So you can make an argument that he'd seen it before at night, fucked up, and then he thinks by the daytime it's going to be fixed, and it's not, and then he sat.
Even that is.
But it's a totally different bridge, though.
Stretch. Well, I mean, it could be a different location, but you're sort of believing that it's the same. It could conceivably you could make the argument that it's a continuation, but even that would be kind of a stretch. But I'm more talking about things like him looking into the mirror. Like he has a scene with the mirror where it turns into a puddle, but this time it's like a second Ash comes out and yells at him. Or in the first movie, it's I think their first friend, the girl that gets raped by the tree, is the same as the girl who's underneath the house in the basement the whole time, right? They throw her in there.
Right.
That's her. So she's underneath the basement yelling at them the whole time, and then that sort of role is fulfilled and switched around. In the second movie, it's Henrietta, the woman's mom. So it's like, okay, if this is happening, if it's a sequel, like, why are we, like, right. revisiting all the same territory?
It almost feels
territory.
Like Evil Dead 2 is, like, the greatest hits of Evil Dead 1, but with kind of a better twist on them or somehow more creative.
And just and a different tone. It's also comedic, and, right. and the character doesn't seem like the same guy from the first movie. That's why I just don't think that it's – because here's the thing. If you were really going to make an Evil Dead 2, like, you'd really make a horror movie – You would. There would be no more Ash. Like, he'd just be dead at the end of the first one, and then you'd do a new cast.
Right.
It would be like, so new kids come to the cabin, and the same spirit is sort of attacking them, and is they're in danger. That would sort of be the stock like way to follow up on that. You wouldn't take the if you take the character back, you would continue on the story and continue with the same tone. But to completely like change the tone, but like also while revisiting the same scenes but in different ways, just makes it seem more like a reimagining than a sequel.
Right. Well, to me, the way you sort of explain that is the way they went about making this movie. It's all in the context of what was going on at that time. I mean, if you look at that, Bruce Campbell and Sam Raimi are like childhood friends. They grew up together making movies. They're sort of – the focus is it's about Bruce Campbell, and he's the star of the movie. And so I think that kind of rules out any new faces, new stars coming in the next movie. You also have the fact that I think I read that they originally intended to have Evil Dead 2 go to medieval times, if you can believe that. But the, uh-huh. due to budgetary reasons, they the second film was produced by Dino De Laurentiis, and they couldn't raise enough money to make it medieval times. So they were kind of like, "Well, we can't do medieval times. Let's go back to the cabin." And it's sort of it's because of financial reasons they couldn't do what they wanted. So Evil Dead 2 is almost like that's the next best thing they could do
right.
at the time.
Okay, well that makes sense. But yeah. but still, why change the tone? Is it because, well, we've already made this uber dark kind of creepy movie that takes place in the cabin. If we're going to do the same thing, why not we just make it slapstick horror now? Was that
well,
sort of
I think some of it was, well, first of all, the slapsticky stuff is more what they grew up making anyway. I think they decided to make a horror movie because you could be financially successful with no movie stars or anything in it. And so they always more lean towards the goofy in their movies they used to make, which you can kind of tell the more their career goes on.
Right. I think that in the first one, they were like serious, and they were like, we're going to make a horror movie, and it's just going to be really good. It's going to be so cool. Like, this is going to be amazing. We're going to just do all these crazy things. And they made it. And like people appreciated for that, but I think it was also there was like so many stupid parts that you just had to laugh at that they were like, oh, this is kind of funny. Like there are funny parts in this, and so the second one they were like, yeah, we should kind of embrace this like kind of silly stuff, right. like a tree is raping somebody. Like I'm sure originally they meant for that to be like deadly serious, and it is. It's weird in the first one, but in the second one it's like I think they kind of got more silly, and then this is kind of getting ahead. But the third one I feel like they just went in too much on the joke.
Well, but also a lot of it is that. When they made the first movie, I mean, it was a huge success, but it was also like really shocking and disturbing and banned in all these countries and everything. And so I think they went into the second movie with knowing how much like shit they got in the first movie. And so you can tell, like, I mean, they had like all the blood in the first movie is all red, but in the second movie, there's like green blood and yellow blood. It's all like crazy. And I think they knew they wanted to tone it down a bit.
Right. That makes
sense.
So
to not, you know, to make more money and not get as much.
I mean, again, it's like you have the same scene where Bobby Joe is running in the woods and she gets right. attacked by the tree, and it's like the same exact thing as in the first movie.
Not as, but
except sans, you know, the penetration.
Right.
So
right.
it seems to be like that's almost like a literal manifestation of what you're talking about, where it's like, oh, it's okay. It's kind of the same thing, but just like sort of toned down or dumbed down or just. More people can
accessible.
Enjoy it. It's more accessible.
Right.
So, yeah. Well, let's talk about the ending a little bit. Where, how bad that wow. those, the suits and everything that people were, it was just horrible. Like, it looks terrible.
Yeah. The knights and stuff.
It's
yeah.
Yeah, it looks like a bad, like, LARPing.
It's just really nightmare. Bad. Like, it looks really bad. They wanted the whole movie to be in medieval times with that sort of look to it?
Well,
No, that's probably because they couldn't afford it.
Well, they could afford, you know, 2 minutes of it. But you know I
think that was sort of the compromise. Right. They're like, well, we can't do a whole movie, so we'll just have this kind of cliffhanger ending, and that'll sort of get what we want in there. I mean, I don't know how they arrived at medieval ever. Like, it's sort of strange.
Here's what I think. This is what I imagine it to be. It's they're brainstorming about the second movie, and then somebody has the stupid idea. Sam or Ted or Joel Cohen or somebody in there is like, okay, what if he's like... They have that time travel idea where they're like, okay, what if we banish it to a different time and then he exists in that time and he's the warrior, and they get like the twist ending of it. And then that becomes just like a cool little thought. And then like years down the line, like when they're talking about – it's like this sort of passion project for them. They're like, what would happen if we checked out like what crazy adventures Ash gets into in medieval times? And they're like, really? You're still talking about that movie? Like is okay, because the third movie, we're sort of getting into that now. It's – that came out in 1993, right? Yes. Army of Darkness, 93. And so what year was Evil Dead 2? How far apart were they?
Oh, shit. You know, I don't recall the exact year.
Let me look it up.
But, I mean, the interesting thing to note is between each movie, they actually made, like, other movies. I think between Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2, it's, like, Crime Wave. And then Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness is Darkman.
Okay. All right. So I was a little wrong. The Evil Dead came out in 1981. Then Evil Dead 2 came out in 1987, so it's 6 years later. And then Army of Darkness came out in 1992, which is 5 years after that. It's kind of like a Bad Boys 1 and 2. There's a lot of years in between, but the movies keep coming out. Because now there's probably going to be a third Bad Boys movie, so
right.
It's between every Bad Boys movie, it's like 5 or 6 years. It's kind of like this. Now, you said that they made Darkman in between Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness. Did they make any movies between Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2?
Yeah. I mentioned they made a Crime Wave, which is actually, like, very few people have seen it. I don't even think it's available on DVD, but it sounds like it would be amazing because it's written by the Coen brothers and directed by Sam Raimi. And the interesting connection is I think Joel Coen was, like, an assistant editor on The Evil Dead, and they all met doing that, and the Sam Raimi and the Coen brothers go back like a long ways, and so they made this movie Crime Wave together, I guess, after having worked on Evil Dead, and it was made for, I believe, Universal, and it was terrible, like just critically panned, and no one went and saw it.
And you've seen it, you can attest to that. It's terrible.
Yeah. I had heard about this movie, and I found it, and then I took it home and watched it, and it is terrible. Like it's
bad.
It's really bad.
What makes it bad?
Well, it's, you know, I actually blocked most of it out, but to my knowledge, it's sort of like in the gangster era of like not really bootlegging. It's actually a lot kind of like Hudsucker Proxy, where it's in that sort of era of like fedoras and stuff. And I believe there's like two bumbling criminals that are after the main character, who's this completely unlikable just guy, just shell of a man, and they sort of it's like really comedy heavy. Like you would think it would be just like an awesome Coen Brothers movie, but it's just like yuck fest, like comedy movie.
So then what, they had to make Miller's Crossing to just like cleanse themselves of their mistake?
Yeah, think Miller's Crossing, but just like a stooge fest Miller's Crossing. Like that's what it's like. And wow. In no way funny. Like it's terrible.
Okay, so there's some time off in between Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness. They're making Dark Man. I'm sure it's something within their circle. They're just like, we just got to make this. We never got the chance to do Ash in the Middle Ages, right. which to me I think is just an inside joke that got out of control. Like if anybody's ever made home movies when you're growing up, you take your characters and you go to crazy things can happen, and it's just they'll just be an inside joke just between you and your friends. I just imagine that Army of Darkness was born out of that. I mean I'm convinced because right. If you look at any horror series, is there any that takes a turn like this at movie three?
I don't know, Leprechaun in space?
But I was thinking about that even. I was thinking about the Leprechaun movies where they change the setting. It's like, could you do Ash in space? Or like, now that he's in the Middle Ages, let's take him to, you know, I don't know, other planets or other situations or in, on this open sea with pirates or whatever, whatever place you can you know, sort of put Ash in. But I don't think it's not like that. It's not like it seems to happen like sort of organically and with the story. And it's not like sensational. It's not like, oh, let's just stick him in all these different places. It just seems to be this just
like
sort
they wanted to do it in the second one.
Yeah, this wacky left turn ending. Of like, well, this is where the story goes. It's sort of insane. Like, it's not like other horror franchises where, because with Leprechaun, he's doing the same thing in Vegas that he's doing in space. It's right. Not like, but with this, what's going on in the cabin in the woods in modern day is so fundamentally different between what's going on in the castle.
Right.
You know.
Well, I mean, I can like, I have no idea how Evil Dead 2, the medieval movies script sort of broke down, but I can imagine, you know, they've made Evil Dead and maybe if they want to go back to a sequel, they want to do something kind of new with it. Since they're not really, you know, big horror fans already, maybe they just want to do something kind of different and then they're sort of forced back into Evil Dead 2. I mean, medieval, I don't know. Like, I don't really get it.
Well, my favorite is sort of the attention that's paid to the side plot line of, is it Henry the Red? And,
oh,
right.
God.
And there's apparently two warring English, right. Or he's Scottish. It's like, there's this...
Where they are, I have no idea.
It's like, why do we care
right.
that Henry the Red... And this other guy are like warring or they're at war. Like Ash unites these two feuding
right.
castles. It's like, who cares?
Well,
like,
I mean, and also in a way the third movie kind of treads back on what happened in the second movie. I mean, if you think the second one's a remake, the second one ends with him being heralded as this god.
And they fudge
and
that.
Then,
yeah.
Yeah. Like right at the beginning of On the Darkness, he's like
a slave.
Like,
yeah.
That's sort of strange. And,
well, and then also you get your third Ash's girlfriend.
Bridget Fonda.
This time it's Bridget Fonda. It's the third different. Can't you just use the footage? They use footage from Evil Dead 2 of him getting sucked in the portal. Just use the footage of the girlfriend from that movie.
Yeah.
Why shoot a whole new girl?
I was wondering that. Why didn't they use Bridget Fonda for like the main love interest in this?
I don't know.
In,
I mean,
was she not a star yet, though? Maybe she...
She probably won that
well,
big.
Because the one, whoever big. Was in... Whoever the girl in Army
Imbeth
of
Davis?
She sucks. Yeah, who is she?
Imbeth Davis.
What is she? What else has she done?
She made a movie called The Gingerbread Man with Kenneth Branagh.
She was in Fallen, I think.
Oh yeah, she was in that movie Fallen with Denzel Washington.
Oh right.
Remember that? I mean, I think Army of Darkness
is like her first big American movie. I mean, she's not like a huge star.
Yeah, let's also mention that this is like a mainstream studio movie.
Yeah.
Think about this. It's like your premise of trying to lure people to go see this movie. You're just average American people, like family, just being like, yeah, come see this movie. It's about this guy from modern times, back in time. Oh, do you get to see how he travels back? Is it part of the story? Is it like a time travel movie where you figure out how he goes? No, he's a star. He's already there. He's there. He's a slave. He's already there.
Sort of the logic behind it.
And he has a chainsaw for a hand in the Middle Ages.
I know. To start.
Yeah.
Like, to start, he just has it. So it's like, it's in order to understand where this movie's coming from or what the story is, you kind of have to be familiar with it at not really the Evil Dead, but really Evil Dead 2. But the people that they're marketing the movie towards, like, I remember as a kid, I saw the ads, like the trailers for Army of Darkness on TV and stuff, and I didn't know what Evil Dead was, but I just knew what Army of Darkness was. So it's kind of interesting that it sort of stands alone.
Well, it's weird because I think that obviously the filmmaker's intent is to have it just be a direct sequel. I mean, as wacky as it is, but clearly this is a studio movie. The Evil Dead 1 and 2 are both independent movies that got purchased and distributed later. Universal made Army of Darkness, and they clearly don't want it to be Evil Dead 3.
Right.
Most people probably hadn't seen the first
Literally, because it's not even called Evil Dead 3.
So they want it to be its own standalone thing. It's called Army of Darkness. It's as if it's its own movie.
But it's so confusing to anyone who is not...
Well, I think the logic is the movie before this that Raimi made was Darkman. Which, I mean, now that he's done Spider-Man and stuff, doesn't seem like a big deal. But at the time, Darkman was actually really successful. And so I think they were sort of capitalizing on, they have this director, he's made this kind of hot movie that people are talking about and really like, and so they greenlight just whatever, and they want to make Evil Dead. And
well, Army of Darkness is more like Darkman than it's like Evil Dead.
Yeah, Darkman is way better. Like,
Have we watched Darkman recently? Not that I'm saying that it's bad. I've seen it once, and there's things escaping me from it, but I just know that Army of Darkness we heralded when we were in junior high as the great. It's, if you're 15 years old, Army of Darkness is the best movie you've ever seen.
Well, maybe we should talk about the fact that watching Army of Darkness again, I had memories of it being just like most unbelievable thing ever.
It does not hold up. Sad that it does not. Because when you're, like I said, 15, 14, 13 years old, because it's the best. It's, you got this guy, he's got a chainsaw for a hand. He just has an endless sea of one-liners that seem awesome if you're, you know, a kid. You're just like, oh, this is the best. Oh, he's the shit. He's got everything. Hail to the king, man. But like, how lame is that now? If you're older and you're, you're in your 20s or getting close to your 30s, you're just like, oh, and then he says, give me some sugar, baby, and kisses a girl.
Sally Forth.
The chins.
What do you think of Evil Ash and Good Ash?
That was so stupid. Like, he fight. Okay, I was just confused almost. I was like, okay, so Ash smashes the mirror because he knows in the past he's had problems with mirrors, and on the shards on the floor there's a bunch of little ashes reflected, and they come out of the mirror and attack him and like tie him down like Gulliver's Travels style, and like, you know, then he breaks free and like kills a bunch of them, but then not before they force feed one of them to him for some reason.
The plan for that,
yeah.
And then when he dives into the open mouth, they're all going, "Hooray, we did it!"
Yeah,
like what?
Well, it's amazing to think that this like Stooges yuck fest Gulliver's Travels gone wrong scene is in the same series as like in the first movie. This
like a creepy monster in a basement, not like even that. It's coming
like,
out of a
like
door.
The root of a tree just violently from off screen just penetrates like a woman.
Or not only that, the like, scene where the character has to decapitate his own girlfriend as he's like weeping about it, like he's taking it seriously, like as if it's his real girlfriend, and then the sawed off part of her neck is inches from his face, spouting blood of his own, man. This girl he loves, as he's crying, as it's flying in her face, it's horrifying. And then it's like, because we're doing this marathon, it's a mere 3 hours later.
Yeah.
They're just these little versions of him are dancing around going, hee, 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 hee.
Like, I think I have, like, whiplash from
it. Does. I can't think of any other trilogy that just stops on a dime and changes thematically just so dramatically within such a short span of movies. Because even if you have like, okay, the Friday the 13th movies are a good example, because there's some ebbs and flows and of the tone of where that goes.
You have a long way to
from
like
five
get
to
there.
Six, when you get to Jason Lives, that's sort of like a, okay, this is going to be different, like, you know, the way Jason's introduced, and then he sort of changes at six, but at least it's sort of like it's a gradual change at some point. But
well, they do like Frankenstein hit him with lightning.
It's
make
pretty
him, like, invincible.
That's pretty strong, I think.
But he similar. Already had tendencies towards the superhuman, like,
that's
prior
correct.
To that.
It's not as far off as this, but it's pretty far off. But this is probably the series in which that the switch is the most just violently forced upon you so quickly, like where you're just it's hard because your main character who you're following has completely changed. In the first movie, Ash spends more time under a bookshelf like than he does like fighting anyone. He's just getting pushed around and crying constantly. Right, he's like just emotional out. And just like any normal person would be under that situation. It's not like he's necessarily battling the
Deadites.
He's
not doing kung fu shotgun moves.
Like, he's not even fighting them. They're just sort of torturing him. Like, you get the feeling that the Deadites could just kill him at any time, really.
Yeah, they're
just sort of laughing
and
teasing at him and all this stuff. Which you brought up a good point of, it's only the women in the first movie.
No, eventually.
Well, eventually Scotty, you know, he becomes, but it's only the very, very end. The first movie is just their own girlfriends torturing them. This is a reaction to a breakup.
What's so amazing about the first movie and even the second one to some extent is most usually horror movies are like the female is the one who lives to the end. Like, there's like a group of people and there's the people with their girlfriends and there's that one single girl and like she always makes it. And in Evil Dead, it's like Ash is just like got his girlfriend and is one of the guys and you would think he would be dead in scene three and he like turns into the hero of the movie.
And the main girl who gets, you know, she knows something's amiss all along.
Yeah.
That nobody else is listening to her. She's usually your main
character. Yeah, she stayed to the end. She's the first to go. Like it's I've never seen that in most horror movies.
That's definitely true. So the first Evil Dead is a horror movie.
Horrible movie.
Oh, come on.
It's a horrible movie.
That is, it's not horrible. It's good. That Evil Dead 2 is good. I mean,
Evil Dead 2 is good.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know you're right. I meant Evil Dead. Evil Dead is good. And I know you don't like it, but you can't say that it's horrible. It's got interesting things going on. It's, you know, you can't, you know, I wouldn't toss around the word horrible to describe it. Well, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 is horrible.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you got to leave at least sort of wiggle room.
Well, I don't know. I think that this is the worst one of the three, and that's saying a lot because Army of Darkness was terrible.
Well, you would put Evil Dead below Army of Darkness?
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
Having seen Army of Darkness,
well,
it kind of
bums me out that we're referring to Army of Darkness as if it was some terrible, terrible movie. I mean, it's bad, but I have such fond memories of it that I'm never going to not enjoy watching it just because at the age like that I was that I liked it, it was so imprinted on me and I just have this love for it that is never going to be as corny and as kind of dumb as it seems now. Like, I'll always have a fondness for it just because of that time and enjoying it and remembering sort of how I liked it so much and thought Ash was so cool and thought all the lines were so funny. I'll still like it.
I mean, like, obviously I'll have fond memories of it as well, but from what I saw, like, it's, I was really surprised. Like, it's terrible. Like, it's really bad. Like, Ash's face stretched out as the book sucks him in, and then he gets up and the movie just stops while he goes, oh, and like looks at his face, like the mask.
Terrible.
It's horrible. That's, and yeah, you mentioned Sally Forth, like his jaw getting stuck. And like,
well, here's the thing. What I was saying before, The Evil Dead is a horror movie. Evil Dead 2, I think, is still more a horror movie than it is a comedy. I think it fits in
those 80s kind of movies that kind of flirts with both.
Like Dead Alive.
Yeah.
It's like this, almost the same thing.
Yeah, because it's weird. Like, a horror movie is supposed to scare you. I mean, Evil Dead 2 doesn't really scare you.
It seems like they have some attempts at
There's some attempts,
I mean,
but for the most part, it's supposed to be funny.
But like, the enjoyment out of it is just the spectacle of it and the hilarity of it. Right. Like,
but it doesn't go too far. It doesn't go into that, like, wacko zone that the third one goes into.
No. It's like they were writing that movie like snorting lines of pixie dust, like pixie sticks, and they're just like cracked out on candy at 3 a.m. just being like, oh, now this happens, ha ha ha. And it's just this giggle fest of like them sort of doing inside jokes and making each other laugh because they're all childhood friends, and then that's the result you get is this shit show.
Yeah, wow. You get Spider-Man 3.
I know. We were even saying, you were saying that it's like what happens with
Raimi and three.
Sam and Ted Raimi with the third movie in an installment.
Yeah.
Where they just get nuts. They just go out of control.
I guess they just feel comfortable and they're like, well, whatever. And
I mean, it seems to be like when I was seeing all the silly parts of Army of Darkness, it just starts to explain the Peter Parker jazz dance-off scene from Spider-Man 3. Just you sort of see, you wonder why everybody was so surprised at how loony the third Spider-Man movie got. It's like, if you've seen Army of Darkness, you're just like, well, it's not that out of character, guys. You know what I mean? Like, he's done this before. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not that surprised. By the way, I've YouTubed that recently. Is there anything better than him playing that piano.
Wow. Well, and, at least, I mean, Army of Darkness isn't that funny, I think, but that is hilarious.
Hilarious.
Like him just jazz fingering and dancing.
So funny. Now dig on this. I mean, it's like...
It's but, unbelievable.
It's amazing. Why would that happen?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Oh my God, that scene is so funny. But yeah, way funnier than anything in Army of Darkness.
Yeah,
we
absolutely.
Can definitely agree. There's nothing in
well, what,
Army
Daniel, did you think there was anything that held up in the movie? Like,
yeah, that's tough. Good? All of his catchphrases were did not hold up at all.
Yeah.
All of it, you know. And I don't know if it's just I think you just need to be younger, I mean, to think they're awesome, but catchphrases are just they didn't seem as good, and I don't think really anything. It's just pure nostalgia to me at this point. I right. take nothing away from that movie now as like a good movie, or this is something is cool from it. I mean, you talked about the inventive camera of like the first film. There's aspects of that when he goes into the spinning windmill, like the big windmill.
Right.
Like that's sort of like a little mini. Okay, now we're gonna get some Evil Dead stuff. While I'm in this windmill for a little bit, even though it's like ultra, ultra goofy, like Jorge, what you were talking about with those little ashes.
Oh,
but, you know.
Yeah, and right before that, you get the like thing going through the woods.
There's nothing really like to take away from that that's any good. I mean, you get everything in Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2. And so if the good, bad, I'm the guy with the gun or give me some sugar baby or shop smart, shop S smart, like if that's not doing it for you. That like is the movie, like all his catchphrases. Like if you don't think that's funny, like you know, you can just check out for like 2 hours. And there's like way too much. It's almost borderline episode one Star Wars
with
the skeletons.
Oh yeah, no. The
I think that's
army
straight out
terrible.
Of
yeah.
The skeletons are straight out of droids from Phantom Menace. I mean they're. Roger, Roger. Or they're
right,
like,
right.
Making dumb jokes and dumb voices. I'll cut your gizzard off. Oh, where'd he go?
Oh, like, there's a site for Sorbo.
Yeah, really? So bad. The ADR, whoever they got to come do ADR for the skeletons.
I think it's one guy.
What do you think the direction was for that guy? Like he's like,
say a bunch
really
of shit.
Goofy? Like, what if he was like this big Evil Dead fan? And he's like, oh, I'm coming in. This is going to be fucking sweet. And they're like, really? You want me to do it like this?
Can you imagine what they didn't use?
Is riffing?
Yeah.
They got the skeleton guy just riffing.
Oh.
And they just... There's a lot of like goofy ADR lines from Bruce Campbell and all these people of just being like... And other like sort of peasants or
right.
like knights just in the background.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't like him anyway.
You know, that just reeks to me of like
studio
notes.
Yeah.
That's like... they don't have
it's
that
It's not funny
on
enough.
Set. They're like, we need to know that they don't like this guy.
Yeah.
So have every person you see on screen like give an off the cuff, like off camera remark.
He can't be trusted.
like this is so dumb.
You're right. That does sort of every time you hear unnecessary ADR, it's mostly just because it's like it's either this scene's not funny enough. This plot's too confusing. It's always a studio. And also, you were saying the girl, every relationship Ash has ever had ends with decapitation.
Yeah, she turns into a demon. And
he has to kill her. This time, she turns into a demon, and she's undemoned somehow.
But, let's not forget, he's like... staked her through the midsection with a pike and like threw her off a building.
And she's back somehow. She's just fine.
She's just
at
good
the
to
end.
Go. Like,
how did the curse of her curse get reversed? There was no explanation. She just was there again.
Yeah.
So that was really weird. And then the ending, which I thought was the greatest scene in movie history when I was in junior high, of him in S-Mart shooting the woman. I thought it was the culmination of everything Ash and everything that was so great. And then this sort of just almost like, ugh, it wasn't that good. But at least it is still better than the deleted ending.
I think, Dan, you're the only... I've never seen it.
I've seen it.
I know... I've heard of what it is, but I've never seen it.
So, okay. So, Jorge, it's... it doesn't end in the S-Mart. I mean, that's how it ends in the movie
right.
that
goes on.
Came out.
There's more.
Yeah, but that was like a studio...
No. The S-Mart stuff was all, like, reshot. Like, it did not end that way. You know where he's like, you gotta recite the words exactly with Klaatu, Varata, Nikto, which is actually from The Day the Earth Stood Still?
Right.
The robot
right.
comes out and says Klaatu.
I don't know if
Nikto.
That's the origin of the phrase, but that's
it's mean, in
it's
there.
Definitely most known for that.
Right. That's so I guess so he has to say those words and he's not sure if he set him right or whatever, but he has to drink this juice, and it's like for every drop. I don't know if they cut out this explanation. If it's
I believe they did.
Yeah, because he has to drink this juice, and it's like every drop's like 100 years, right? So it's like it ends up like it's awful. Like he comes out of a cave with like a giant Moses beard. Like I want to say like it's like fucking Rip Van Winkle. He walks out of there, and it's like he took too many drops. So he's like too far in the future. So then he's like post-apocalypse, and it's like there's deadites like rule the world, and he's like, no.
Is it like Big Ben in it or something?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he sees Big Ben. Like he's in
England. It's sort of like a Planet of the Apes, like, oh yeah, no.
Exactly.
Like,
because I guess he was in ancient England, so that's where he wakes up, is in like post-apocalyptic England, like
makes
in the future.
No sense.
So that way if you wanted to do Evil Dead 4, you could.
So was he in England in Evil Dead 2? Did they not mention
that? I think technically if he's taking drops and he's hibernating, he would kind of have to be stuck to England. But I can understand how the spinning vortex through time could spin you out in a different geological location or geographical location, I should say. That you could sort of, but it is, yeah, it's kind of thin at that point.
Yeah.
Well, what's so odd to me is I think that Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell, like, they hate the S-Mart.
They
call it the John Woo ending, which is funny because he's unloading like a Winchester Rebel like 1,000 times, but they hate that ending, and they just like love this like Big Ben, like, oh no, ending, because their stance is like Bruce Campbell's supposed to be this like doofus of a character, and that he sort of bumbles his way through everything, and he always gets the short end of the stick. But what seems so weird to me is like watching Army of Darkness.
The whole movie seems like the S-Mart scene.
Not the case. Like,
no.
He's this like he's ladies' cool. man. He kisses girls in like one look. And yeah. So to me, it's more like Universal kind of got what they were doing and kind of continued it.
I mean, yeah, it's obvious that it's like the first time he kills all those deadites at the beginning. And then they're worshiping him, and then the bosom patrols feeding him grapes.
Yeah, eating grapes.
Yeah, what is this? That doesn't seem like a character who always gets the short end of the stick. He's just kind of like just such a badass. I think that's why we liked him when we were younger, is that we were sort of like, this guy's so cool. It's like, why do you think that Duke Nukem stole all his lines or that right. whatever? You know, it's just he's cool. He's like a badass. It's like.
You know, after seeing Arm and Darkness, Duke Nukem.
Yeah, Team Nukem. I'm definitely Team Nukem.
Ash is
over
still
here.
Cool.
No, I'm kidding.
Ash is still cool. But yeah, it's definitely a neck breaking turn if you want to talk about it from a movie marathon standpoint. Like if you want to approach watching Evil Dead into Evil Dead 2 into Army of Darkness all in one
three completely
sitting,
different.
It's yeah. three separate, because it's not just it's like, oh, you get these first two movies and then Army of Darkness. It's like, whoa. It's like each one is sort of just like, because then you get the kookiness of like, well, we're starting over from scratch now with like a new thing. It's a sequel, but it's not. And then that's confusing.
Well, I mean, Evil Dead 2 definitely has those like kind of yucky moments, not yuck, like yuck fest moments that are in Army of Darkness that are not in Evil Dead 1. Like, you know, the arms like hitting him a million times and his hand getting possessed.
There's
and,
like, continuity between Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness, but there's certainly zero continuity between Evil Dead and Army of Darkness.
Absolutely. But I think ultimately watching them all again, it just solidified in my mind how great Evil Dead 2 is.
Mm-hmm.
How it's, I mean, it's easily the best one.
Yep.
There's some weird parts to it. Like it has its blemishes.
Right.
But
compared
all
to the other two,
it's, well, I wouldn't.
It's obviously the best of the.
Oh yeah, I would agree. It is the best, and it's sort of like
if there's anybody,
still working. You
if
know what I mean?
Anyone out there who has not seen any of them, just go see Evil Dead 2, and that's it. That's my recommendation to you. Don't bother with the first
well,
one.
Well, I think if you're a really big horror movie
sure,
fan,
yes,
certainly
yes.
see the first one.
Yeah, I can. Even I, who hate that, who hates Evil Dead, can agree that if you're a horror fan, it'd be worth seeing.
I mean, it's. I still think it's pretty shocking, having seen a lot of horror movies. It's,
sure,
it's pretty surprising.
It definitely holds up in terms of the gore factor, for sure. But I would also, I would only recommend Army of Darkness if you are 12. Then by all means,
yeah, you'll love it.
Stop everything you're doing and Netflix Army of Darkness. If you are 12 years old, it will be your new favorite movie. All right, well, that'll about wrap it up for our discussion on the Evil Dead movies. Next, we are, I think there's three different marathons we're going to, we have to decide over which one we're going to do next. It's either going to be Jurassic Park.
Good one.
The Matrix, Matrix Reloaded, Matrix Revolutions, or the kind of one I'm sort of leaning towards, it's Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Honey, I Blew Up the Baby, and Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves.
So, have you seen the third one? I've never
of the
seen
Honey,
that.
No.
I'm
no.
pretty sure I have.
I know that none of these are ones that we mentioned in the last Ninja Turtles podcast. Don't worry, we're going to get to the Karate Kid, and we're going to get to some the Mighty Ducks and some of the ones we talked about, but I think we've been talking about these last three recently. I think we're going to do one of these next. So, Jorge, which one do you want to do? Jorge's choice.
I'm torn between The Matrix and Jurassic Park, because you haven't seen Jurassic Park 3, right?
I haven't, which is kind of – actually, ooh. I would do that one.
Maybe we should do that one.
Let's do Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Tune in for episode 3, where we watch all three Jurassic Park movies. Pretty great. Thanks to my brother John for guesting.
Thank you
for these evil.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
All right, well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time to talk about Jurassic Park.